This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Have you ever given actual thought about your thinking process, about how you think? For example, in the morning when you leave your home, do you tell yourself, do you make these mental notes? Don't forget to get the milk, don't forget to buy the eggs. And then eventually at the end of the day, when you get back home, let's say if you've forgotten to get these things, do you start bashing yourself up in your head? Oh, why am I so forgetful? Why am I so stupid? Is there this constant chatter, this constant talking to yourself happening throughout the day? I'm sure you relate to what I'm saying. But having said that, you should know that on the flip side, there are actually some people out there who don't have a voice at all in their heads. Now, I know this may seem hard to believe because a lot of people use language-based chatter to organize and focus their thoughts. However, it turns out that some people just don't have this kind of inner voices, this inner chatter going on at all. Instead, they may rely more on visualization. For example, they would see themselves buying the milk at the store. They would see themselves buying the eggs at the supermarket. And there are even others out there who employ a combination of these two techniques, a combo. So it's basically the inner voice, the inner voice along with visualization. Now, this inner voice has a negative side to it, known as the inner critic. And that's basically what I hope to touch on in this video, inshallah. Transforming the inner critic, which is a negative thing, towards becoming an inner coach, which is a positive thing, inshallah. Okay, so what is the quote-unquote inner critic? The inner critic is this concept used in psychology, it's used in psychotherapy, to describe the negative thoughts that we have about ourselves. And interestingly enough, it doesn't even have to be our own voices. For some of us, it's the voice of a parent. For some, it's the voice of a partner. For some, it's the voice of an employer, your boss. No matter who it is, the inner critic often provides very harsh and ruthless commentary over our lives. It's that mean voice in your head that tells you, you are not good enough. You are a failure. You should give up. You should be over this by now. You are ugly. No one likes you. You will never succeed in life. You are useless. You're weak. You're lazy. You're crazy. All of these very negative statements. And this can lead to feelings of guilt. This can lead an individual down a downward spiral of shame, anxiety, depression. And most of the time, it just drains an individual. Because as humans, we have two main safety systems. The oldest and most quickly triggered is the threat defense system. Usually, when we sense danger, our response is typically fight, flight, freeze, or submit. We turn and fight the threat, or we run away from the threat, or we play dead, we act as if we're dead in hopes that the threat will pass. Now, these strategies are very successful for animals living out there in the wild, helping them to survive. For us humans, however, these responses often just make things worse. That's because the threat we're usually facing is a threat to our self-concept. We confuse our thoughts and representations of ourselves for our actual selves. Meaning that when our self-image is under siege, when our self-image is under attack, we react as if our very existence is threatened. And when this happens, our threat defense system raises red flags, it becomes activated, and it uses the same earlier mentioned strategies to stay safe. So fight. We beat ourselves up emotionally, using cruel and harsh language to just drag ourselves down, to cut ourselves down. Flight, we become anxious, restless, and we flee from the threat. We flee from ourselves by numbing ourselves using distractions like food or getting into this vicious cycle of other bad habits. Or three, we freeze. We just freeze. We get stuck, no action whatsoever. We get stuck in rumination, in thinking, overthinking about our weaknesses, about our flaws, about our mistakes, about our failures over and over again. This whole vicious cycle. Or number four, we submit. We give up. We admit that, yes, we're terrible. We're full of mistakes, full of flaws. And we accept all of the harsh judgments that we throw at ourselves. And you have to bear in mind that this inner critic is shaped by different experiences an individual goes through. You see, all these experiences throughout our lives, and especially the experiences with our primary attachment figures, carers and parents. You need to ask yourself, were you bullied throughout school? Did you attend a school where the whole culture was heavily focused on achievement, heavily focused on perfectionism? Was your mother or father especially harsh towards you or perhaps neglectful of you? Have you experienced a trauma in your life? Because the legacy of all these experiences and the voices of these people, if it was negative, throughout our childhood and throughout our lives, can unknowingly and in a very sneaky way become baggage, become huge influences of our inner dialogue, of our inner voice, the inner chatter. Okay, now that we've understood what the inner critic is, let's look at transforming it into an inner coach. Number one, you have to start doing so by first acknowledging its existence. Stop sweeping it under the carpet. The first step towards solving any issue, any problem, is admitting to yourself and acknowledging that it exists in the first place. If you are in denial, because see, a lot of us, we live in a constant state of denial simply because we find it hard to pluck the courage and face the truth because we fear that that is going to now expose even more dark and ugly truths. It's going to expose the baggage about ourselves. So what we want to do is just, you know, stuff all of that baggage into some attic and not touch it at all. So we need to acknowledge the issue in the first place. That's number one. Number two, you need to practice self-compassion. Now, what is self-compassion? People tend to have this misunderstanding of self-compassion and they define it as self-pity. They think that it's to be sorry about yourself. You have to understand that there's a fine line. Self-compassion is being kind to yourself about your struggles, whilst all the while acknowledging that other people are going through struggles too. Everyone is fighting their own battles. Self-pity, on the other hand, is not acknowledging the realization that other people are struggling. It's the, oh, I have it worse than everyone else sort of mentality. It's just that beating yourself up mentality. Now, developing this sense of self-compassion, it does take time, but it's worth practicing. So say, for example, rather than telling yourself, oh, I'm so stupid and I can't do this, a different approach to this situation might be telling yourself, okay, this is really challenging, but I am trying my best. So you see, the first statement is critical and the second statement is compassionate. You're cutting yourself some slack. You're saying, okay, hey, this is challenging, but I'm trying my level best. And a great way to gauge this inner critic, these statements, is to quickly ask yourself, would I say the same thing to my friend? I want you to think about this for a second. Just say you're with your best friend. Would you go behind your best friend the whole day saying, hey, you know what? You're a loser. You suck. You are ugly. You are lazy. You know, you're not going to be able to achieve anything. You're useless. You're this. You're that. We wouldn't. Why? Because most of the time we're showing compassion to our friends, to our family, to the people around us that we aren't showing to ourselves. So self-compassion is key. The next tip that I'd like to share is to gently challenge this voice whenever and wherever possible. Say, for example, you are preparing for an examination or you're preparing for an interview. Now, your inner critic might start droning away. Oh, you know what? You're just wasting your time. You're going to humiliate yourself. No one wants to hire you. You don't have the experience. You don't have the talent. You don't have the skill. You'll end up saying something stupid. You'll write something stupid. You're just wasting your time. Now, you need to dismantle these statements and try to gently challenge them by responding. Say, for example, when the inner critic says you're going to humiliate yourself, you gently challenge that statement saying, well, I've done well in past interviews. When the inner critic says no one wants to hire you, you don't have the experience or skill, then you gently challenge that by saying, you know what, I've studied. Or I have 5 years, I have 10 years experience in this industry, in this area. When the inner critic says you'll end up saying something stupid, or you're going to make a mistake, or you're going to write something stupid, you gently challenge that by saying, the worst that's going to happen is I'm not going to get the job. I don't get hired. I'll try elsewhere. When the inner critic says, oh, you know, you're going to fumble and, you know, you're going to be anxious and scared and whatnot, you gently challenge that by saying it's normal to feel nervous or scared before an interview. So by gently challenging these negative statements with reassuring statements, it's going to end up strengthening you and building confidence in you. Now, the next tip that I'd like to share is don't ever get stuck. Keep taking some action. Because without taking action, we are at risk of becoming stuck, stalled, and, you know, stuck in our own shame, in isolation, in overthinking, in ruminating, in anger, in yelling at ourselves inside our heads, and eating ourselves up from within. The minute you take action, however small it may be, baby steps, of course, you get out of the downward spiral of shame. And this is very important, lest we remain stuck in that downward spiral. Now, the last action item that I'd like to share for this video is to use positive affirmations. We need to overpower the inner critic through the use of positive affirmations. You have to bear this in mind and mark my words. Your voice is an extremely powerful tool. Think about it. How often do you hear your voice throughout the day? Now, as I speak, okay, even before you eventually watch this video and listen to what I'm saying, my brain, I'm listening to what I'm saying. So no wonder our brains place such a high value on the words that come out of our own mouth. So to transform the inner critic inside you to an inner coach, motivating you and reassuring you, you have to tell yourself the things that your inner self desperately needs to hear. You need to, and by the way, this needs to be articulated. You really need to say it out aloud. You need to say that, you know what? I have the talents in me. I have a growth mindset. I know that I can work on my talents. I know that I can work on my intelligence. I know that I can work on my skills, and I have all of that. I'm capable. I'm loved. I'm worthy. And I can do all of this. I have the willpower. So the more you keep saying this, and this has to be done in a consistent fashion, over time, these words will slowly but surely reprogram your inner critic. It'll start to transform it into a coach who wants the best for you. You must be consistent with it. Like I said, you have to see through. You have to engage with positive affirmations. And the more you do, you'll start to believe the words that you speak every single day. And like I said, slowly but surely, you will get there, inshallah ta'ala. I hope this video was of benefit. Do share it around so that others can benefit as well, so that we can motivate and inspire as many people as possible. And if you benefited from the video, do like the video and subscribe to the channel. I look forward to talking to you all in another video soon, inshallah ta'ala. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.